Now, when it comes to birth control, the statistics show that 99% of women ages 15 through 44 who have ever had intercourse have used at least one contraceptive method. So according to the statistics by the Guttmacher Institute, 99% of women have used birth control. Okay. So you say, well, this sermon's going to offend somebody. But you know what? That's not the point, though. The question is it right? Is it biblical? Now, out of the birth control that women use, the most popular method of birth control, the number one method, is the birth control pill. And specifically, it is the combination pill of estrogen and progestin. So the number one most commonly used method of birth control today, and these are statistics from 2010 and 2013 from the Guttmacher Institute, is the pill. And in fact, 4 out of 5 women have used the pill as contraceptive. And I'm going to demonstrate for you and explain to you right now, first of all, before I get into the rest of the sermon, that birth control pills cause silent abortions. If you are taking birth control pills, you are inadvertently, literally killing your children. And remember, this is the most commonly used birth control method. So before we get into the subject from the Bible of whether birth control is right or wrong, let me just start out by saying that the most commonly used, the most popular method of birth control, the one that 4 out of 5 women have used, the one that is 28% of women who use birth control are using it right now, is a pill that will literally cause your unborn children to die. Now, let me explain to you why that is, and then we'll move on. But before I do, let me start out by proving to you from the Bible that life begins at conception. Okay, who here agrees that life begins at conception? Say amen. Amen. Yeah, it begins at conception. Well, let's show it from the Bible. Look down at your Bible at Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now flip over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1, because in Matthew chapter 1, this exact scripture is quoted in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, it said, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Well, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, the Bible reads, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So isn't it interesting that in the Old Testament it says conceive, and in the New Testament it says shall be with child. You know what that tells me? That conception produces a child. Not a blastocyst or an embryo or a fetus, but God considers that a child. Flip over to Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, we're not going to turn to all of these for sake of time, but there are so many scriptures that we could use to prove that life begins at conception. For example, we could go to the fact that John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb when John the Baptist was brought in close proximity with Mary, who was pregnant with Jesus, and the two children were in their mother's wombs. And when John the Baptist got near Jesus, he leaped in his mother's womb. That shows there was a spiritual connection there. The Bible says that John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. The Bible talks about the fact in Psalm 139 that God knows us in the womb and forms and fashions us. And in fact, anyone who says that a baby in its mother's womb is not alive is just a complete fool. It's really only just the most atheistic, evil fool that would say such a thing, other than politicians who say it routinely because of the fact that they want to be elected in liberal areas. So they lie and say, I believe that life begins at birth. I watched a debate one time between two politicians. One was a Republican and one was a Democrat. And they were running on the East Coast in a very liberal area. And the debate moderator asked them, when do you believe that life begins? One of them said, birth. And then they say to the other one, when do you believe life begins? Birth. Now that is so scientifically stupid. And it's amazing to me today how the atheists will claim to be so into science and we believe in the science. But it's funny when you confront them with science that flies in the face of their wicked ideology, then all of a sudden they don't believe in science anymore. Science will tell you it's alive. I mean, science will tell you that a tree is alive. Science will tell you that an earthworm is alive. But a human being living in its mother's womb, 9 months gestation, one day away from being born, they'll say it's not alive because they're liars and they worship Satan, that's why. And they love death. The Bible says all day that hate God, love death. And that's what these people are. They love death. They're pro-death. It's not pro-choice, it's pro-death. Pro-life versus pro-death. The Bible says choose life in the book of Deuteronomy. But when we, when we talk about life beginning at conception, the devil loves to change the meaning of words. Because if he can't get you to believe in the stupidity of some politician that tells you, oh, it's not alive until it's born. Well, what he'll do then is try to change the definition of words. And so he'll get Christians to agree, oh yeah, life begins at conception. So then he'll change the definition of conception. Now, conception has historically always meant fertilization. When the seed from the man and the egg from the woman come together and that egg is fertilized, that has been known as conception. But now they're starting to change the definition. And even in some dictionaries, they'll put a definition that says, well, it's fertilization or implantation. I've even heard a Baptist preacher buy into this and say, well, life doesn't begin until it's implanted. Let's see what the Bible defines as conception. Let's make the Bible our final authority. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. So let me ask you this. Could conceive seed refer to implantation? Let me explain to you the terms here. This is how the birds and the bees work, children. You know, I'm not going to go into any detail. Don't worry. Don't plug your kids' ears or anything. But basically, the seed from the man travels into the woman's body and finds the egg, and the egg is fertilized up toward the top of the fallopian tubes. That fertilized egg, that developing child that's multiplying and growing and so forth, begins to travel down that tube until it gets to the uterus. And when it arrives at the uterus, it implants itself into the wall of the uterus. And then eventually that's where the placenta is going to be attached. And then there's going to be a cord and the baby and so on and so forth. But that developing life comes down that tube and implants in the wall of the uterus. Now, when the Bible says that she's received strength to conceive seed, notice that conception is tied in with the seed, isn't it? What's conception? What's conceived? She conceived seed. Okay. Now, does the seed come from the man or the woman, biblically? The man, of course. The man provides the seed. The woman has the egg. And so what happens is that developing child travels down that tube, and that trip takes 7 to 14 days. Okay? So conception or fertilization takes place up here. Then it travels down the tube, and 7 to 14 days later, it implants in the wall of the uterus. Okay. Now, this new definition of saying, well, conception is implantation. Is the seed involved with implantation? No, because the seed is long gone. The seed from the man fertilizes that egg, and then all the seed is gone, okay? And then a week goes by, and then it implants. How could you call implantation conceiving seed? You can't. There's no seed there anymore. The seed has been gone for over a week. So we see that the world's definition, that's a new definition that they're twisting and changing things to mean, and that Planned Parenthood has pushed this new definition of conception, is not in tune with the Bible. It's just a lie of the devil to try to get you to say, oh yeah, life begins at conception. That's 7 to 14 days after fertilization. You say, well, what's 7 to 14 days? Oh, that 7 to 14 days is important. It's critical. You ever heard of the day after pill? And women today take what's called a day after pill or emergency contraception so that in case they got pregnant, they can take a pill that will then kill the developing child in the womb. You say, well, it's just such a small, simple organism at that point, but it's still a child. It's still growing. It's still alive. You know, you can't pick a time and say, well, I think it's okay up to 3 months, or I think it's okay to kill it up to 6 months. No, it's either the stupidity of the politicians who say birth, or it's conception like the Bible says. Which one is it? You know, you can't just have some gray, well, I think it's 3 months, I think it's 4 months, I think it's when the heart starts beating. On what authority do you think that? You know, the Bible says that we don't know how the bones grow in the womb of her that is with child. We should not think that we can decide when it's alive when God says conception equals a child. Amen. When we compare Isaiah 7:14 to Matthew 1:23. So here's how these birth control pills work. The combination pill works according to two mechanisms. There's a primary mechanism, and then there's a backup mechanism, okay? The primary mechanism is to stop a woman from ovulating. She does not release an egg, therefore, no pregnancy can occur. Now, if a woman just doesn't release an egg and no pregnancy occurs, is any human life being snuffed out? Is anyone being killed? No. It's just no egg is produced, and so there's not a pregnancy. But there's the backup mechanism. Because if that was the only way birth control pills worked, where they just made you not release an egg, they would not be 99.9% effective. And let me tell you something. Birth control pills are 99.9% effective. When you see women getting pregnant while they're using birth control pills, it's usually because they didn't take it consistently or something, or they're lying and saying that they're taking it when they're really not. But according to the studies and research, birth control pills are 99.9% effective. Why are they so effective? Because of the fact that they have a backup mechanism to make sure that if the primary mechanism doesn't work, the backup is there. Here's the backup mechanism. They actually harden the lining of the uterus itself, making it impossible for the developing blastocyst to implant in the wall of the uterus. So that developing child that's 7 to 14 days old gets to the uterus and it cannot implant. And so it dies and is flushed out, and the woman doesn't even know it. And that there was a life there that was alive for 7 to 14 days and is snuffed out. You say, well, how often is this happening? Well, it depends on what type of pill is being taken. The most common pill, the popular pill, is the combination pill, which is estrogen and progestin combination. Breakthrough ovulation, which is when an egg is released, even though you're taking the birth control pill, occurs 5 to 60% of the time, okay? Let me get out my figures to make sure that I've got all this right here. 5 to 60% of the time, breakthrough ovulation can occur. Now, it's different with different types of pills, but for the basic combination pill, 5 to 60% of the time. So just to put it in perspective, even if we were to use the most conservative number there, that 5% of the time an egg is being released, a woman can get pregnant, and basically that child's going to die, it would be happening every 2 years. And the average woman is on these birth control pills for 3 decades. That's what the statistics show, that they use them for decades. Okay? But if you go with the 60% figure, this could be happening every other month, if you think about it. You could be having a silent abortion literally every other month. Maybe it's happening once every 3 months. Maybe it's happening every 6 months. Maybe it's happening once a year or once every 2 years. But the bottom line is, it's happening. And it's wicked to do that to your body, to turn it into this killing machine where it'll still produce the egg that's going to be fertilized, but then it's going to die. That's why these birth control pills are so effective, because they do that to the uterus. Not only that, but women who take these birth control pills, then when they decide, okay, I want to get pregnant now, their uterus lining is still not the same. And then they'll have miscarriages because of the fact that the lining is still not right. That's why even a doctor will tell you that if you've been on these pills, you need to take a few months and wait before you try to get pregnant again, because your uterus has to go back to normal and you have to metabolize all this junk, these hormones that you've been putting into your body. Now, there's another pill called the mini pill, or the progesterone-only pill, the POP, as it's called. These type of pills are hardly suppressing ovulation at all, and they are mainly relying on the backup mechanism, and they are mainly just destroying the environment, creating a hostile. If you actually look at the package insert as I've done. I've taken the birth control pills and literally read the package insert, all that fine print. It says it creates a hostile environment in the uterus for the developing blastocyst, as they would call it. So these mini pills or progestin-only pills are actually doing this even more often, constantly. Could be every other month that this is happening when you're on these type of pills. Same thing with the Depo-Provera patch, the Depo-Provera shots. Any hormonal birth control method is an abortifacient that is causing you to have a silent abortion some percentage of the time. And we as Christians should just reject it outright as being manslaughter or murder to take these type of pills, knowing what they're doing to your body and knowing what they're doing to your children. We need to just reject it outright and say it's immoral. It's sin. It's wrong. We shouldn't do it. I mean, that should be case closed for the most popular birth control method in America today. Not only that, but a lot of women will use what's called an IUD, an intrauterine device. This is where they put an actual object up into their bodies and in order to, again, stop the child from being able to implant. It's not going to stop you from ovulating necessarily, but it'll stop the child from implanting. Now we're starting to understand why it's called birth control, not conception control. It's not necessarily stopping you from conceiving. It's stopping you from giving birth. Doesn't mean that a life's not going to be created. It's just going to die. It's not going to be born. We as Christians need to wake up and realize that everything that the devil and the world dishes out down at Walgreens is not something that we need to be purchasing and participating in. And we need to prove all things, and we need to figure out what we're putting into our body before we just put it into our bodies. And we need to be careful with this stuff. You say, well, you're condemning me because I've used it. Look, 99% of women have used it. And if you didn't know any better, well, you can't change the past. You know, shame on you for not knowing. But hey, everybody makes mistakes. We've all made mistakes. But you need to, now that you know the truth, repent. You know, now that you know that it's wrong, you need to decide, well, I'm never going to use those. I'm never taking birth control pills now that I know what they're doing. And not only that, I'm doing you a great favor by warning you about these things, because honestly, birth control pills are very harmful to your health in the first place, because of the fact that they also increase your chances of getting blood clots and having a stroke and having a heart attack. You can go to the cancer cancer.gov or whatever, even their main website, and they'll talk about the fact that estrogen that's in these birth control pills is a known carcinogen or something that causes cancer. And I mean, who has heard research and things about estrogen being related with cancer? You know, estrogen being, yeah, it's pretty common. And so taking this synthetic estrogen in these birth control pills is increasing your cancer risk, risk of blood clots, and a lot of other bad things. It's bad for your health. And it's bad. It increases your risk for breast cancer. It increases your risk for a lot of other illnesses. And so these things are bad for your body. You say, well, why are they so popular? Why are so many women taking them? Well, obviously, somebody's making money selling them, number one, and advertising them and telling you how great they are. And number two, because women are just hell-bent on not having children, apparently. They just want... And a lot of people, when you start criticizing the birth control pills, well, but what are we going to use? I mean, what, you know, provide me with an alternative. And I'll get to that in a little bit, but because you say, you know, well, which method of birth control is acceptable? You know, what should we be using? Well, the short answer is nothing. Okay, but I'll explain that more as we go through the